No, I'm not the only one, but I'm a recipient of Ron's embrace, his holy hug that he gave every Sunday. And if you're like me and you're an affectionate person, you just look forward to it. And the Bible says that we should greet each other in brotherly love, and Ron did that. I looked forward to it, and if I missed him or passed him by accidentally, he'd say, "Come on, Bonnie, let me give you a hug." And I have to say, there were times when that was healing to me. I could have had a bad week or a bad day, and he'd say, "I'm praying for you." If you let Ron know that you had a specific need, he prayed. He meant it. And there was comfort in that. I never forgot it. When times would get more difficult and the battle would be raging, I'd remember, "Yep, Ron's praying for me." So I just pray that someone else takes Ron's place with that wonderful hug that he gave that brings healing to everyone. Thank you, Lord.
Taught me perseverance through everything he went through. Just watching him, everything he went through, and still looking at the cross at the end of the day. And no matter what he faced, no matter what a doctor told him, he faced the cross. And that's what he turned to. He wasn't scared. He didn't run and hide. Perseverance is the one thing that Ron Silva taught me. That anything that I go up against, that's nothing. Because there's the cross.
What can we say to describe just a glimpse of your glory? How can our words portray but a thread of your majesty? But still we praise our Savior in spirit and in truth, for we cannot say enough about you. Say to describe just a glimpse of your glory. How can our words portray but a thread of your majesty? Oh, but still we praise our Savior. Say enough about you. our Savior, in spirit and in truth. For we cannot say enough about you.
When I first got saved and really started walking the walk, being a Christian, there are three men that really took me in. Doug Morganti, Ron Fess, and Ron Silva. And, you know, Ron, as much discussed talking and his stories, you know, he's a big believer, throw as much at the wall as you can, throw as much mud at the wall as you can and hope something sticks. And he was a believer in throwing a lot of mud at the wall. And he did tell a lot of stories and he did teach a lot. But what I learned the most from Ron was really being a faithful servant. The Bible says faith without works is dead. And it's probably the most misunderstood scripture in the entire Bible. But Ron was a true servant, and he really led with his works. When you consider, he was the, now along with Sue, the longest tenured Sunday school teacher. He'd been teaching Sunday school since the 90s. He worked with the teens for years and years. They did it, the meetings at his house. Every camping trip. He was an usher. He was a setup guy. He did a shepherding group at his house. The list goes on and on and on. I remember when he was served on the evangelism teams when we first started putting those together. He started a ministry for kids with single parents, with single moms. I mean, I could go on and on and on. The works. He was a servant. And he really showed me our walk is about the kingdom. And it's about what we do when we're here. And about serving in the kingdom from the day you get saved and going forward. It's not just about that salvation experience. It's now a life. It's a lifestyle to live. And Ron Silva lived it like no other that I know of. And I know I wouldn't be who I am without him. And so, just God bless.
I'm thankful that Ron took the time to listen. I'm thankful that Ron took the time to invest in my children. Every camping trip, even the little ones, Megan and John and Courtney, that would go on the trips. And he invested even when others, anybody would think you just don't have to. But he took the time. He listened. He would be able to, weeks would go by. I would tell Ron something, weeks would go by, and he would come to me and say, how is this going? How are you doing? And bless you. And I'm thankful for his blessings that he gave me every time I saw.
I told Pauline this story on the way home from our dinner last night. A couple of years ago, we were having a meeting at Ron and Sue's house, and as I was leaving, he said, Lisa, I need to talk to you about something. And I said, sure, Ron, what is it? And he said, I just want you to know, I really struggled with you being a pastor. He was very honest. He said it was kind of against my theology to have women in leadership. And I wasn't really for it when you were ordained. He said, but I've taken it to the Lord. And I've prayed. And those of you who know Ron know he prayed face down on the floor every day. And he said, in one of my times praying, the Lord changed my heart. And he said, I want you to know I'm behind you, and I'm for you, and I bless you. And I can't think of anything that meant more to me. First of all, his honesty, and secondly, his blessing. And I have to share one other thing for my Ron that he asked me to share. He's labored at the Open Door Mission for many years, and the cry of his heart was to have a partner, someone that was of like faith and like vision and like understanding, who would be able to love unlovable people and bring the truth and deliverance to them. And Ron became an answer to his prayer. And the two Rons together, they didn't get to work together too long, but they kicked butt, if you will excuse my expression, because every day they would get together and pray and fight the enemy on behalf of those men that sometimes no one else loved, that together they loved. And he was eternally grateful to have him there in a season when he needed him the most. And when Ron was first diagnosed, we went to visit him in the hospital one day, and he wasn't in his room. And the nurse said, he's just gone for a test, he'll be right back. And within just a few minutes, from way down the hall, we heard a wheelchair coming, but we heard a deep, gravelly voice giving a testimony all the way down the hall until we got to the room. And then he turned to the person and said, Jesus is real. Now, if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. And every person that he ever came in contact with heard the truth and heard the gospel and was changed as a result, I know. And there are seeds that are sown that have yet come to fruition. We have not seen the last of Ron.
Um,
Over the last month or two, I've had the privilege, along with a few other people, of bringing Ron to his treatments in Buffalo. And I just was constantly amazed, no matter how he felt, he still praised the Lord. And he'd come out of the treatment, get in the car, we'd start driving back, and he'd say, "Bless the Lord, bless the Lord." And I just was so amazed at his depth of faith and his love for Jesus. And one of the times, we would usually stop and get some lunch on the way back, and he said, "I want to go to Olive Garden this time." And I'm like, "You what?" I said, "Well, why don't I ask you when we get on to 390? And I didn't say anything, and we come 490 to 390. He goes, "Now get off of Ridge Road over there. We're going to go to the Olive Garden." It's like, okay. And so we did. And I didn't even think about it, but they sat us at a table way in the back, and I didn't even think about, you know, it was very laboring for him to walk. But we got there and called Lynn, and she joined us for lunch. And he wasn't feeling that great, but all of a sudden he started talking about the Lord. And his whole face just lit up. And his eyes were, he was so animated. The people next to us were kept looking over like, "Hey, you people need to listen to this," I'm thinking to myself. But I still hear his voice saying, "Bless you, Pauline. I love you, Pauline." And we had some fun and some good laughs together. And I'm really glad that I knew him, know him, and we'll see him again.
I wanted to say a few words about Ron, but I wanted to say you probably don't have enough time for me to really talk about him. But I know Ron was a man of God, and when he was going through his cancer treatment, sometimes I was able to take him if I wasn't working, and especially when he had the chemo or radiation. And he used to call him at the park bench conversations. We would talk about a lot of different things. But the thing it always reverted to in our conversations was, we would laugh about it, because we would always say how we knew we married way over our heads. How our wives are so beautiful and intelligent and caring and loving, and how God blessed us so much with our wives, and how much he loved Sue and I love Mary. And then we'd always get into the kids, and he'd brag about his kids, and I'd brag about Mike and Beth, and we'd tell each other how great the kids were and stuff. And we'd always have this conversation, and it'd always start out that way. And as we're discussing our families, it always got to another thing about how much we love the Lord. How can we love anything or anybody more than we love our families? And it always got into a conversation about scripture and about loving God and how God blessed us with our marriages, with our children. And the thing is, we went to Hawaii with Ron and Sue. We had a great time. I mean, there's a thousand stories in that alone. But the one thing I'll never forget is in Oahu, we couldn't find a church. So we sat on a street bench in Oahu, and we praised the Lord. Ron was never afraid to praise the Lord in public. He was never afraid to speak up about how God has blessed him in his life. And we sat on that park bench singing songs and praising the Lord and having our own worship service. So the thing, I know, I consider him just like my own brothers, my own flesh and brothers. I mean, I consider him that close. The thing we always had a difference on was whether the Yankees were better than Detroit or Detroit was better than the Yankees. So what happened Friday night, when I had heard, Mary and I went to Robert Wesleyan to speak about NAMI, and that's, I knew before that, I had heard from Lisa and Ron about Ron's passing. And that night when I got home, I was so upset. I was praying. I was worshiping God. But I was really upset and I was angry at God for taking him home, number one. But I said to God, you love Ron more. You took him home first. And then you showed him what cap, what baseball cap you wear first. And you probably put on that stupid Detroit Tigers cap just to make him feel good. So as I was worshiping today, God showed me a vision of Ron sort of tapping my head and showing me the Detroit Tiger hat he had, that Jesus had on his head at the same time in heaven. So we always had a great time. My grandfather used to call me King of the One-Liners until I met Ron. And we would get into some parties and some situations where we would just go back and forth. I mean, I thought it was going to be where people were going to get up and leave because we were going back and forth with one-liners so much and so often. But I will never forget Ron, but I will never lose Ron. He's here in my heart. He will never be away.
To know Ron was to know the love of Jesus. He was truly a servant of the Lord. And we had an opportunity when he was first diagnosed to be in the hospital in his room. And the doctors all came in and they had these sad, somber faces. And it was like, you know, sorry, we're sorry to tell you this, but it's the end of the road for you. And Ron sat up in the bed and he said, I respect you for who you are, but he said, I serve a higher authority. My God is in charge of my life. And he told them how he was told when Sue and he first got married that they would never have children and that God had a different plan and that they had, you know, all the boys and what a blessing his family was to him. I used to say to him, Ron, I just see your boys and I watch them and it's just such a testimony of Sue and you and what God has poured into them through you and what a loving family they are. And now with all the grandchildren, just watching that experience has been so special. The tender love that they have for their parents and for one another and for these babies. And it's only the love of God that he pours out. And we came into Shepherd's Heart at the time when they did. So it was really kind of special. And like Mike said, going to Hawaii with them was really special. And he would say, I can't believe that you would go to Hawaii with me. And I'd say, Ron, what do you mean? He said, I don't think anybody would travel that far with me. And we had the best time. And we went on a tour bus, and we went to different places, and they gave you coupons. And so everybody was on the bus, and we were getting ready to leave this one jewelry store. And he realized that he had a coupon that he didn't, you know, he wanted to get Sue this charm. So the bus is getting ready to leave and the driver just stepped out a minute and Ron ran in the jewelry store. He kept the whole bus waiting until he got that piece of jewelry. Ron, we love you so much. There'll never be another you. We just love you and we thank the Lord for you and for your family.
Vision of Ron walking into the pearly gates, the gates opened wide as soon as he got there, and there was a standing ovation waiting for him, and there was a big smile on his face. And the song I want to do real quick, if you don't mind, just real quick, is probably the one he's singing right now.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty, for my soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied.
I believe Ron lived his life to leave a legacy based on Jesus Christ. When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Ron's legacy is standing behind me and sitting in front of me. It's a lady standing behind me who lost her husband this week, who's playing an instrument and singing and leading worship. His children are sitting in front of me. Tim and Kristen, Paul. Richie. And Zach is here in spirit. If you have trouble, if you struggle worshiping, just look at these people this morning.
Ron always, always worshiped. In everything he did, he always asked about my children. He never forgot them. I knew he was always praying for them. He was an example for us all to never forget, to never judge, and to remember to always ask someone else what's happening in their lives before you talk about your life. We love you, Ron. We love your children. We love your wife. Thank you.
Mike, I don't know that I agree with you completely. Because I know in my heart that Jesus is a Yankee fan.
Okay, guys. I saw a picture, and on his ball cap, Jesus has TJ. It's Team Jehovah.
When Ron was first diagnosed and he got that news from the doctors that it was a type of cancer that was terminal and it would kill him, he and I had a heart-to-heart conversation, and he said, "What a privilege. What a privilege to know that my days here may be numbered." How many of us get that kind of news and count it a privilege? And I said, what would you do differently? He said, "I'm going to love the life out of my wife and out of my kids, and I'm going to testify to the goodness of God in everything." As if he needed to change anything. He already was loving the life out of all of us.
Yes.
And he testified of the goodness of God in everything he did, as if he needed to change. Before he got the news, he was forever Ron, doing all those things already. All the news did for him was let him know he's going to get to see the Lord sooner than some of us. Of him. to live our lives now as if we could find out tomorrow or even today. It's your last. He didn't die. He lived forever on right until the end. We love you, Ron.
This is not so much about Ron as it is about this body. We had a similar situation in a church that I went to prior to this one. And there were words over this woman, and we all had faith, and we fasted, and we prayed, and, you know, we did everything that we've done here. You know, you support the person, you stand with them, you speak over them, you do all those things. And this woman died. And the difference is that there wasn't a group of people who went there to listen to what the Lord had to say, to call that person back, if that's what was supposed to happen. The difference was that it discouraged the church. It sort of made, you know, was that prophecy right? Was it what it was supposed to be? And here, the body surrounded that person, surrounded Ron, waited to hear what the Lord had to say, fully prepared to, and did call him back, but listened and heard, no, he's okay where he is. And so we have hope. And so I just, you know, this is just a small body, but what an awesome, awesome gift that you've given to each one of us. Because we don't have to question, you know, was it a right word that Ron got? Was it whatever? It's okay, because God's going to take care of that word. Because that's what was said. That's what was said. And so Ron's in a good place, and we're in a good place, and it's different. So I thank God every day for this body, for the leaders of this church, for how we love one another and how you love one another. And that in itself is a gift to every one of us. And if you've been here for a long time and you haven't really experienced another body in a while, this is special. This is very special. And it's special. Okay, I'm going to try my hardest not to cry. Too late. Oops. I don't even know where to start with Sova. I've known him since before I can even remember, and he's got memories of us together that I don't even remember doing because I was so little. The past couple weeks, he's just been on my heart a lot. And Rachel knows, and Courtney knows, that I've just been talking about him. Like, I want to do something for him. Because the relationship me and Sova had was beyond anything that I've ever had with anybody else. And I just remember every Sunday I would always be excited for him to teach me in Sunday school, because I knew it was like a new story every day, and now I know like all of them because I had Sunday school with him. And he would ask, like, did I ever tell you the story about this? I'll be like, yeah, and everybody be like, no, and he'd tell it all over again, and I'd hear it like four times. And I was okay with that. And he touched me in so many ways, and he showed me so much love and compassion for everybody, and he taught me just to love everybody as much as you possibly can, despite what they've done to you and everything. And the past couple weeks at church, I've just been really, like, felt the need to really sit down and talk to him and just have a conversation with him. So I have. Every Sunday I'd come in, and after church I'd try to talk to him. And 2 Sundays ago was probably the most meaningful conversation I've ever had with him. And he's like, we were just talking, and then he's like, Megan, you know, did I ever tell you what my favorite memory of us together was? And I was like, no, what is it? And he was like, when you were little, you and Courtney were little, you were on a camping trip. And he told me he never had any daughters. And he always wished he had a daughter. And he was like, you and Courtney, nobody would play with you or anything like that. So you came up to me and asked me to hold your hand and walk you down the stream. And I did. And he said that that was one of my favorite memories because he's never had a daughter. And that broke me down and took so much strength not to cry because that was the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me. And I love Zoma. I'm going to miss him so much because it's so sad just to come to church and not see him and not expect that big warm bear hug that he'd give you every Sunday and tell you that he loves you. And like someone said earlier, that if you accidentally walked by him and didn't give him a hug, you'd be like, wait a second, come back. And I always look forward to that. And it really hit me hard when I found out what happened. And I just really admire your strength, Sue, for what you did and how you went to the Dominican and everything, despite everything that was going on, and how you're still standing up there and playing and worshiping and stuff. You know, I really admire that, and I really like that you have this strength, because I don't know if I'd be able to do that. And I love you. And that song you were playing earlier was really beautiful, and it made me cry.
Praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything.